you are witnesses to these things. You are a witness to the testimony of Holy Scripture. You are a witness to the baptism of Avery Rose. Have you ever looked at Scripture? Have you ever looked at the words that are found in the Bible, which you are a witness to? Have you ever looked at them and tried to summarize them? You might say that this is the good news, which this translation tells you it is, the good news. Or perhaps you might say that the Bible is the greatest love story that was ever told. Good, fitting descriptions. We could go on, but you'll get me mad at me if I start listing them. It'll take too long. But these descriptions, to try to summarize this book, they have to be large, broad brushstrokes, telling just the essence of the story, but failing perhaps to describe the many issues that are at play and which arise in Scripture. Today's lesson from Luke's Gospel is similar to what we had last week in John's Gospel. Jesus once again appears to the disciples as they are together in a room. And last week we read the account that dealt with Thomas, dealing with the doubt that he and the other disciples experienced. In our reading today, Jesus appears to the disciples, and we read that they were startled and terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus meets the disciples where they are, and he addresses their fear and their doubt. He puts the disciples at ease by confronting their fears and by joining them in the simple act of sharing a meal. The actions of Jesus during this encounter seem as if nothing has changed. It's just Jesus spending time with the disciples, as though his wounds and his death had never occurred. It's as if Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, "Didn't I tell you that all of this was going to happen? Didn't you believe me?" And then Jesus spends time with the disciples. He opens their minds to understand the Scriptures and proclaims that all that is written has now been fulfilled, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations, that you are witnesses of these things. This passage from Luke's Gospel puts us in the shoes of the disciples, which requires that we ask of ourselves, what are we frightened of? And as a result, what do we keep locked up? And there are many answers to that question. At least one response for each person who is sitting here this morning. What are we afraid of? What keeps us from moving forward and providing a witness? The good news is that the story doesn't end with the disciples in a state of fear. The story does not end with those disciples being frightened. And so our story should also not end on such a note. For just as Jesus put the disciples at ease, the promise found in the resurrection does the same for us. It reminds us that we do not need to live in fear, but rather we should live in joy. Joy in the promise of eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy in doing the work that we have been called to do together. The story from Luke's Gospel calls for a prophetic release of energy, for us to be passionate about the ministry which Jesus calls us towards, which is to ask people to repent. And what does repent mean? Literally, to turn 180 degrees, to turn around, to turn towards God. That they find peace with God, purpose in God, and forgiveness in God. And I think we often forget just how important and life-changing it can be to receive true forgiveness. This is the message that we offer to society. A message I believe society desperately wants and needs to hear. Friends, Jesus really does make it so easy for us. Yet in our haste and in our self-preoccupation, I think we sometimes miss the point. We miss the message that Jesus offers to us. Those disciples were fearful and frightened because they worried that they might be next, that they might find themselves on a cross dying a painful death. In putting them at ease, Jesus does not promise them security. Jesus does not offer them safety. Jesus does not promise an easy road. Jesus offers them peace. Peace be with you, is what Jesus says to the disciples. Friends, the Word of God calls us to peace rather than security. And so what does it mean to live in peace versus to live in security? We live in a world where stories of war, poverty, disease, neglect, prejudice, fear, isolation, all of these and more dominate our headlines. And you don't need me to tell you this. You can open the paper, turn on the news, check your social media feeds, and you can confirm it for yourself. Not discover it, because you already know it's true. We live in a world that sensationalizes already bleak and horrifying stories of poverty, famine, war, and despair. And friends, these horrifying and life-changing events, they do not create glaring pictures of poverty and despair. They expose them. These situations already exist. And it is to humanity's great shame that it is so. However, we often like to criticize the media, which likes to sensationalize, which moves from conflict to conflict, situation to situation, at hyper-fast speeds. The media and our own attention spans are short, painfully so. We like to point a finger and get upset by how a situation is blown out of proportion. And I wonder if maybe we should be doing something different. If instead of being incensed about the images of despair and tragedy, if instead of being disgusted by news outlets which prey on sensationalism, if we should just stop. Stop and realize that all the media is doing is telling us something that we already know. the name might be new this week, but it's not really new information. Of recognizing that, yes, there are bad things out there. Thanking the media for drawing these images to our attention, for exposing these things. We need to turn the corner. Instead of responding to these images of tragedy and despair with apathy, we need to actually respond, to provide a Christian response. We need to call people back to relationship with God and work on creating relationships which are founded in trust and love, which then gets at the core of many of our problems, which are born out of fear and mistrust. And friends, Jesus is alive and working on behalf of wholeness and community. And it's to this purpose that we are also called to establish relationships with one another, relationships of love with one another, with our neighbors, to all who we meet in our daily lives. Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things." Friends, how can you be a credible witness to God's love for the world? How do we, as a community of faith, respond to God's presence? How do we participate? How do we get involved? The opportunities are limitless. They exist in your every thought, action, and word. Everything that you do is an opportunity to lead people back to God and to offer the forgiveness that we receive in Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to learn how to preach forgiveness, to live it out every day, to learn how to point people toward God by living our lives for God. So turn to God. Accept God's forgiveness, and in doing so, we take the first steps of creating the kingdom here on earth. You are witnesses to these things. Amen.